The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome to the Your Favorite Band Podcast with your favorite host, Dave. And Brand's not here. That's right, Brand is not here. All you got today is Dave. And I think you're going to be better off for it. Brand's good. He's a good boy, but you know, to be honest with you, he's a little chatty in these intros. So let me just cut to the chase and say that I was walking around Brooklyn the other day, and there was a band playing that I really love. And I walked inside, and I got an interview with the person that is the singer from this band. I'm trying not to give it away. So just a little note, there's going to be, you know, the background noise from the other band that's playing afterwards. I left it in because I thought it was cool for you guys to hear the setting. I mean, I mixed a little bit to try and pull it out as much as possible, but you will hear a band that is not this band in the background, but is the band that's touring with this band, still keeping that band anonymous. Before I let the lead singer of the said band cut to that band, let me do some housekeeping. That Brand will probably steal my socks if I don't do this. So there's this little thing called stars, or there are these little things for those of you who are grammatical Nazis out there. There's these things called stars, and you know who has a whole bunch of just open slots for stars? I'm talking about you, Apple Podcasts. The podcast app, iTunes, really, is where I'm getting with this one. iTunes has this place where you can rate our podcast, and I don't care where you're listening to it. You could be on your Spotify. You could be on your just internet app. You might be finding us through one of our websites, but still, you can go to the iTunes app and you can fill every single one of those 5 stars in with a yellow full star, and that means that you really liked the episode. This one or any of the other ones, because there's a whole grand cornucopia full of good episodes from great artists. And if you want to do a little look back, see what we got, do that, rank the show, give us all the thumbs ups and stars that you can manage or afford. And in the meantime, I'm going to let this guy introduce the band.
My name is Joey Seccaroli. I sing and play guitar for Kindo.
From Wurlitzer pianos and Lisa Simpson to a neighborhood rock band with his friends and his dad, what were the early days of Joey like? How did he get his start into music?
I suppose as early as I can remember, I would toy around on my parents had an old Wurlitzer upright piano that was never in tune, but it didn't matter to me. So I would just go and kind of, you know, discovered the tones that each note made. Mm-hmm. I started doing chopsticks and, you know, went from there. I never really got into piano heavy, though, but that was definitely my gateway to music. And then in fourth grade, maybe it was because of The Simpsons, because Lisa played baritone sax. I wanted to play saxophone in fourth grade, so I joined concert band. Studied alto until middle school, then I switched to tenor, started studying jazz, middle school jazz ensemble, and that was really fun. I thought that was cool. I started getting into rock a little bit late in middle school. I was a bit of a late bloomer. My neighborhood buddies wanted to start a rock band, and my dad played bass in a band in Buffalo called Junction West. They were like a really popular like funk rock band in that era, you know? And so he had his original bass from playing then. And so that's what I learned. I picked it up and I don't even know how to hold the thing right. I would just like go up and down the fretboard with my thumb inverted coming down onto the fretboard, which is just the wrong way.
Yeah.
So anyways, I learned my first three notes there, and we started a band with some friends from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
We were super shitty. It's okay. We had a blast. Then I started getting involved in this church group that a friend invited me to, and the church had like worship music and like worship band and stuff. So there were a lot of musicians, young musicians my age, that were playing like rock and all kinds of stuff that I met, and I just thought that was so cool. So I formed a couple of different bands with friends from church, and by this time I was in high school.
Yeah.
Still playing saxophone, still studying jazz. Our jazz ensemble submitted to the jazz, essentially Ellington Festival at Lincoln Center. And we got accepted for 3 years, so we participated in that competition. And that was a really awesome study on like Duke Ellington, who was just like a legendary, you know, jazz composer and bebop innovator. So that takes this whole time I'm also playing in rock bands in church. And then I met Steve around that time. Jeff went to my high school, our bassist, and I produced Steve's first band's like EP. They were like a punk rock band. They were called This Day and Age, and they evolved into an emo band that I then later joined. So I'll fast forward to that. So, you know, maybe like 5 years later, I joined that band, and in that band was Steven, the drummer. Mike Carroll was the founding guitarist of Kendo, Kelly Chandra, the keyboardist, and myself. There was another member who was singing. I was playing bass in that band. The singer left the band. That was in like 2005, 2006. And the rest of us wanted to keep making music, but we were like, hey, what if we just do something totally different? And kind of the initial conception was like, let's do something jazzier, you know? And so we just kind of took that very vague direction and ran with it. And that was the beginning of Kendo. And then we called it The Reign of Kendo. And have called it that until fairly recently.
Yeah.
And we're not ashamed of The Reign of Kendo, but it's just easier to say Kendo. We've never referred to our band as The Reign of Kendo to one another. We always have said Kendo.
Right.
So to us, it's really not a change, but I understand some fans may have some trepidation with it. Trust us, it'll stick. It'll be good. You'll like it.
What was the transition like going from the emo act of This Day and Age to the much jazzier Reign of Kendo, all the while staying on the same label?
So This Day and Age, the singer left it, and it was just, I remember it was just prior to this big tour offer we had with Gym Class Heroes and The Format. So it was a very big tour. We ended up not doing it, and Brad, Fischetti, who was our record executive, you know, he was obviously crushed and was kind of hoping we would, like, do something still in the direction of This Day and Age, you know? But he's like, he's always been really loyal. So he's like, I'll release you guys' stuff, like, your new stuff. And, you know, he totally, like, supported us through it. And it was it was really tough at first, because we first put that EP out. We were expecting to ride the coattails of the growth of the previous project, and it just didn't translate nearly the way we thought it would. It was really confusing to people. We went from this sort of post-punk emo rock sound to like this sort of jazzy major sevenths everywhere, you know, polyrhythms, and you know, so it didn't translate. So we were really feeling like we had to start all over. In terms of how we picked songs for the EP, we really, for the most part, we've released almost everything we write. And it's a really odd way to do it, admittedly. And to be honest, it's not ideal for me. We've just done that because it's what we've had to do, because there's a lot that goes into writing the songs, and it takes a lot of man hours to put them together. So, like, you know, you're the whole time you're putting it together, you're like, well, I'm going to do this until it's good. You know, so even if you're starting with a mediocre song, it's like, well, let's arrange it in a way that's beautiful or somehow pleasing, so it can be worthy of making a record. So yeah, pretty much everything we've written, we chronologically we'll just put out on the records as we go, and it's truly a document of our progress and our evolution as a band.
Though Candy Rat Records was most famous for its solo acoustic artists at the time, through a strange connection, Kendo ended up being the label's first full band, and the videos they released together were a big success for both Candy Rat Records and Kendo.
We left 111. It was very mutual. You know, Brad had sank a bunch of money into us, and I'm, you know, maybe now he made it back after 10 years later, but that's not how you want your business to go. So it was a mutual separation, and Steve's dad was a fan of Candy Rat and emailed Rob Poland, the owner of Candy Rat, saying, check out my son's band. So he did. He liked it, and he got in touch with us, and the rest is history. So we signed with him. His deals are so artist-centric and so fair. It was a very different model. He didn't come from the music industry. He came from the IT world, the tech business industry. So he has no frame of reference of like how you run a record label, like what the music industry is. Like for him, he's just made his own rules, which I applaud him and respect and admire him for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we signed with him, and part of his deal is he's got a great YouTube channel that's well curated, mostly with fingerstyle guitarists, very beautiful playing and beautiful compositions. We were a weird signing for him. He really took a chance with us. You know, like we're not a instrumental guitar band. We're a band. Like, he didn't really have any bands, so we were the first band he ever signed. It was a big experiment for everyone involved. It was a very successful experiment because during that time, you know, I was planning to move to New York, and I had had my fill of touring for a while. I was really discouraged with how touring was going with Kendo in the early days. No one knew who we were. And that is normal, but when you come from having a big fan base with a different project, and then with those same guys, like, oh, we're doing this other thing, and you go out and you realize, like, no one really cares, that was really deflating. There's a lot of variables, you know. So we didn't tour for a long time, but we did produce these videos with Candy Rat, which were being posted on YouTube to his large curated audience. They were received very well, and we didn't realize how well, but basically built our following through those videos. And when Scale the Summit requested for us to hop on their headlining tour, maybe it was 5 years ago now, 5-6 years ago, we didn't know what to expect. We're like, yeah, that's cool. And as it turns out, like, half of the audience on that tour were Kendo fans. And so that for us was like, whoa, what happened? You know, like, we didn't tour, but now there's people showing up, and it's those videos. So we owe a lot to Rob and Candy Rat and that whole platform for doing that work for us.
After the success of the YouTube videos, what was it like recording the first full-length album with Candy Rat Records for Kendo?
Yeah, so Rob launched those videos before we even really put out the next record. But his deals are one record deals. And if both parties are happy after that release, then they can move forward or renegotiate. You know, it's a very fair and good way to run your business. So we did two records with him. We did This Is What Happens and Play With Fire. We did videos for both of those. And it was great. I mean, I think it worked very well. And really the only reason we separated was I just wanted to try something different. And that, you know, I had this idea to try the Patreon thing. And that was also an experiment. But it seemed like a good idea. So we just went for it. Rob is super supportive. Rob's actually going to be running and hosting our merch fulfillment. So we worked out a deal with him to do that. So, you know, he's just a great guy to work with. So,
a lot of artists would tell you that making a sophomore album is a pretty tough thing. Joey thinks that it's a mental game.
Yeah, most of the challenges are psychological and self-imposed. You know, I would say we spent most of our band's career learning how to
write music and learning songcraft and arranging and never feeling like, you know, we've arrived anywhere. Just always just discovering, discovering the process as it unfolded before us. So each record presented very unique, like, challenges because we were in a different headspace each time. You know, your sophomore is like, okay, well, I think people liked the first one. This one's got to be, we got to ramp it up. So you put this, now there's this added pressure you place on yourself instead of just trusting in, like, the process that you've used to come up with the music that people have liked, right? So you're fighting that the whole time. And obviously as it progresses, Play With Fire, same thing, like, let's ramp it up again. And, you know, you start playing that stupid game with yourself. I'm not saying that it's stupid to want everything you do to be better than the previous thing you did. Like, I very much am a firm believer that you should always want that. But to become so obsessed with that while you're creating, you do that at your own peril, because it will distract you from the compass that you need to refine your ability to trust in your creative compass.
Yes.
It's because it's nothing you can articulate with words or ideas. It's when you play something and it makes you feel something, you have to be able to notice that feeling and recognize what that is and be like, oh, I like that, did something to me. There's something here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because what are you going to do? You're going to argue when you're creating music, like, well, I think we should use a major seventh chord because technically this, blah, blah, blah. Oh no, but it should be a minor 13. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? You know, that doesn't mean anything. What does it make you feel? That's, people like music because it makes you feel something, right? So anyways, we've spent this whole evolution trying to learn how to feel something when we create. And I feel like it took us all those records. And this last record that we did, I feel like for me is the first record that all that went away. And this is like, okay, I just know, I know how to follow the feeling now. I trust in our process. Like, we know how to make a good production. So let's just do that. You know, like, it's a skill we've acquired now. 10 years, you know, we've acquired it. I mean, and I've done this production since long before even Kendo, you know, so I've been doing production close to 20 years. I started in high school. I've always been like an audio, you know, geek.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's, it's been really interesting, like, that evolution from record to record, you know?
Right.
This record, I feel, I was telling Steve the other day, like, every record that we've done up until this one, I've always been like, is this good? Like, that's been my sentiment, you know? And not really knowing. But this record's the first record where I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is good. You know, like, at least I like it. And I know that I like it. And that's a new feeling for me.
What approach does Kendo take to writing songs?
So, like, if someone has a song that's a song idea that's well fleshed out, usually they'll demo it, and then they'll, like, send it to us on, you know, email. We'll listen to it. You know, we'll, usually it's like, cool, let's mess with that at the next retreat. That's basically how we'll work that. Then we'll get to the retreat and be like, all right, we'll plan what ideas we're going to work on. Be like, okay, like, if Johnny brought an idea, like, let's flesh out Johnny's idea, let's arrange that. I have a song that's almost totally done, that'll be easy, so, like, let's do that, you know. And then let's also do one where we just jam and come up with something from nothing, you know, like, as a band. You know, we'll just experiment with different angles, I guess, just to just see how it affects the creative process. So it's not a very – we don't have, like, a cookie cutter process to our right to anything we do, really.
Right,
it's and I think I like that. Like, I realize I'm drawn to the chaos of that because I know that I won't be able to predict what we're gonna do next, and that's gonna keep the music exciting, you know. So I just keep fucking us up, you know, like, on purpose, you know.
Joey mentioned that the band goes on retreats, but what exactly are these meetups?
Yeah, so, like, since we started the Patreon, we've always had some members that lived in another city. So we would do writing retreats, and partially, like, in New York, it's just so crazy. There's so many things pulling you in every direction. So if you want to get into a good creative headspace, like, I was like, let's get somewhere, no distractions. We're there to produce songs.
Right.
So we'll go out to a cabin somewhere. We'll bring very light gear, you know, just enough to, like, sit in the living room and jam. And then, And then from there, like, we'll produce 3 to 4 songs each retreat, and then we'll immediately put them into production after that.
Nintendo has released 8-bit, aka old school video game, versions of two of their albums so far. What is the inspiration here?
Yeah, so there's our band is definitely heavily influenced by video games, and Nintendo in particular. We all, most of us grew up playing avidly, and we're big fans of it. I mean, myself included. So this was Steve's idea, I think. Steve and Mike Carroll's idea. I think it was after Rhythm Chord and Melody, or after we did This Is What Happens. He's like, hey, guys, like, I want to remix our songs in 8-bit. And yes, and like put it out. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. So he took that, him and Mike took that and ran with it. And just like, it's become a tradition that we don't stop now. Now we just make every Kendo song is also going to be remixed in 8-bit. You know, it comes from this genuine place of like, this is important. Yeah. Like, this was important to me, and this is a really cool thing that I like, you know, and so that's why we make it.
Kendo has historically had large gaps between their album releases, but Patreon was the needed push to get them writing and recording much more efficiently.
On that scale, the Summit tour that we did, obviously seeing, like, wow, we have fans, that's crazy. We met this band, Jolly, and I became very good friends with Lewis, the drummer, and he's a very bright soul and shares his ideas freely. And, you know, months had passed, and he's like, hey, man, like, there's this thing, Patreon, I think I'm going to do it for Jolly, and you should do it for Kendo. I think it'd be really good for you guys. And I was like, oh, really? So he kind of piqued my interest, and I saw what he was talking about, and so I was like, you know what? Let's try this. So it took like a year to put the campaign together and to really devise the method that we were going to use to do this. Because what it was going to do is put a profound fire under our asses every month, and we had not been operating under that paradigm. So this was very much committing to indefinitely, you're doing this now. Like, and mind you, I wasn't expecting that. And, you know, we raised a good amount of money, but, you know, it's not enough for us to live off of. You know, it's paying for mostly the production costs. So I'm thinking, like, well, if I start this, I can't stop it until it gets big enough to live off of it. Or you kill it and the band's done. Because it's, you know... Anyway, so there's a lot of fear and trepidation. You know, it seemed like a big commitment, but it felt right. And so we launched it a year and a half ago. And during that time, we had been writing some ideas. It was just very loose because it was no fire. Again, everyone's working different jobs. And once the focus starts diminishing, like, everything moves so slow. Well, anyways, once we launched the first song, like, new game. It was a brand new game, and it was terribly stressful for me because I'm doing all the production work and trying to deliver all these different deliverables every month to our patrons who are generously supporting us, and I'm the whole time feeling like, these people are going to feel like they're getting ripped off, like the stuff we're giving them isn't enough, and like, I can't believe their generosity, you know, like, this isn't going to last, they're going to be so bummed with all this stuff, and I've been assured by many a patron that's not the case, and I appreciate you saying that. I think every now and then I need to continue to hear that, because I don't necessarily know if that will stick, but I'll assume if you keep giving, like, you're happy. So anyways, every month, pretty much, since we started the Patreon campaign, we have been releasing a new song. We've been writing, recording, and producing it. And I mix it, and it's out that month. And that's been a really new kind of relationship and dynamic with our fans. I don't think most of our fans know about our Patreon campaign. And essentially, we're viewing this is going to be our inner circle. Yeah. You know, these are the people who make what we do possible, and they're going to get everything we create first. And there's even higher tiers where, like, you'll get access to live streams while we're writing in the studio, and really you're in the process with us. So it's like, it's really fun. Anyways, that's kind of changed the game for us, and we're still, like, right now, Happy However After comes out on April 13th. When it comes out, we'll have more than half of the next record done. So that's got us slotted to release about a record a year from now on. So we went from having these big gaps to being forced to be prolific. And it's the challenges, like, have been met, and it's so encouraging for us. Like I'm confident now. It's like, for this month's song,
right.
I don't even know, like, I have a drum beat from Steve at this point. And in about a week and a half, I have to we have to turn that into a song.
Yeah.
I have to write lyrics and melodies and record it and mix it. That's crazy. But like, we've done it now, and it's like, we're just going to do it. Yeah. It's kind of, it's like, I feel like I can relate a little bit now to that South Park doc, you know, when it's talking about they need like every week, they just have to produce a brand new episode that follows current events. I'm really like growing to admire and appreciate the forced prolific nature of those formats.
How does Joey feel about the earlier version of himself in the band compared to now? What's changed the most?
I don't even know that guy. Like, that started this band. I really don't know him. I am such a different person than I was then. Like, it's really hard to remember how he thought, why he thought what he thought, you know, why he got upset at certain things, why he didn't take action during times when he should have taken action, you know, there's all those things, and why he acted when he shouldn't have. So, this band has been, like, ultimate life training for me, man. I think it's, like, provided me with endless challenges to be met, and I'm really grateful. I'm grateful right now. I don't know if I was grateful during the past 10 years all the time. I was shaking my fist sometimes, you know? But, man, it's just, if I didn't have this band, I just wouldn't be as good at solving problems. And I think now there's a confidence that exists in me that just couldn't be present in the earlier version of me, because I hadn't proved to myself that I could do what it took, if that makes sense. So like 10 years go by, 11 years go by, it's like we're still here doing this. So it's like, and like we are on the rise, you know, we're working hard and we're seeing fruit. It really makes you feel like, man, it could be unstoppable. Like if I just keep digging and keep meeting those challenges. And now I have the confidence to be like, I can meet them. You know, like, not like I'm not egging fate on to bring more challenges to me, but I want to stand ready for them all the time and get better and better at it. And there's plenty to be met. So it's good. So I feel very good right now. Whereas before I was kind of depressed and didn't know, like, I wasn't good at anything else, but I was broke and had no idea if this was going to work out. And now I feel like it's going to work out, even though there's really not a ton of evidence, like, on paper to show that. But it's just a feeling, you know? It's a feeling that's like, I'm just going to do what it takes because I want it.
By now, you're probably wondering how you can keep tabs on Kendo.
We got the new record, Happy However After. That's going to be released on April 13th. I hope you're not superstitious. We are not. It's a bunch of BS. We got a new single, Human Convention, dropped on, what is it, the 23rd. I hope you like that song. That's a fun one. Let's see. We shot a music video that will hopefully be out soon. We're editing it right now. If you want to connect with us, you can connect with us on the social medias. There's also, you can join our mailing list on our website. I will not spam you. I will only deliver critical announcements, what I would consider critical announcements that are related to things happening with the band. Also, for those of you who want to get really involved with what we're doing, for as little as $1 a month, your money will go to help us produce and record a new song every month. You'll get that song at the end of each month, and that is what is enabling us to do everything we're doing. It's been miraculous, and I'm so grateful to everyone who's already a patron. And if you're not and you want to learn more about it, go to patreon.com/TheRainOfKendo. You can go to our website, and there's links to it there as well, which is TheRainOfKendo.com. That's R-E-I-G-N, like a dictatorship.
And now, without further ado, let's have Joey kick us to the new song.
Hey, this is Joey from Kendo, and we're going to play Human Convention from our upcoming record, Happy However After. Enjoy!
An illusion, a human convention, like
like watches and weekdays, just another invention. I'm thrilled.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.